You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We're going to be entering into a series. We usually enter into some type of relationship seminar series during the month of February. And so this series is called Love Is. And so we're going to really talk about what love is. And then we're going to, so for 3 weeks, and then we have revival with Pastor Roman Gutierrez. Now, I just want to, let me give a little trailer. Pastor Roman Gutierrez, he's an amazing preacher, leader, pastor. But he has an amazing testimony. He actually died twice, meaning he was pronounced clinically dead twice. And so how that happened was he basically was stabbed and his blood drained out and his heart stopped and came back, and he's got a very spicy life, put it that way. Good testimony. He was in gangs and things like that, but now he's serving God. And so really would be something to start to tell people about. Really will be inspiring to come out and hear his story. And so let's put that in prayer. But let's get down to today. Some of you, most of you, I don't think you're going to know who this person is. How many here you know who Candy Staton is? Candy Staton, nobody knows. Okay, there you go. So three of us, we know who that person is. And so basically, Candy Staton wrote a song called Young Hearts. Some of you would be like, oh, I know it now. Maybe not. People are looking at me like, Pastor, you stepped out of another planet. And so I'm not going to sing it. So you got to sing it, Pastor. We might get it. Definitely, we won't get it. You ever have someone try to sing you a song and you did, and the melody was totally different? They were like, come on, it was da-da-da. And he's like, what? That's. And then when you got the song, it's like, it doesn't sound nothing like that. But that's a different sermon. That's not this one. So basically, Candy Staton, reason why most of you don't know this person, because she made this song in 1976. And so most of you weren't born then. I was 3 then. And so I'm a 70s baby. Proud of it as well. And so thank you, Roger. And so she wrote this song. And the song goes like this. This is what stimulated this song is, in my car, I listened to, like, iTunes has this gospel playlist thing. So, you know, and so I put it on. It just kind of runs in the background. It takes, you know, a long journey to come here. And so one of it, I saw Candy Staton. I was like, I recognize that name. But she was singing a gospel song. And my wife, you know, Googled it, and we remembered. So, and when I said, she sang this song called that. And we looked at it. We played it on YouTube. And when I listened to the words, I was like, this song is actually crazy. And so this will go well with my sermon. And this is what it's called, Young Hearts. And so this is how the song goes. He goes, what's the sense of sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. Some of you are already swaying, man. You count up the tears and they will be, count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Now already this is depressing. This is depressing. It says, love only breaks up to start all over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't get your man. Yeah, I tell you, spicy, man. This is before, the Destiny Child. And so, while he is busy loving every woman that he can, and then she goes, uh-huh. That was the most singing bit you're going to get out of me. And then she says this, I say I'm going to leave 100 times a day. It's easier said than done when you just can't break away. And he goes, he doesn't gonna break away. And so, and she goes, oh, young hearts, run free. You'll never be hung up like my man and me. My man and me. Oh, young hearts, to yourself be true. Don't be a fool when love really don't love you. This is quite depressing when you read it like that without the melody. The melody's okay, but, you know, when you read it without the melody, it sounds depressing. But this is a picture of many people, how they see life. Many people, that woman has encapsulated some of the sentiments of many people, men and women. And she speaks about how love, and she talks about love breaks up and starts all over again. Why would you love love when love really doesn't love you? And so the reality is that many of us, we don't actually know what love is. What I found interesting is that she's speaking about young hearts run free. Don't be caught up in relationships. Don't share your life with somebody. Just go and run free. Do what you want and all of that. And it sounds good at the time, but actually, when you look at Candy Stanton's life, and I'm not judging the woman, but she actually was married 6 times. And so a bit too much running free. We want to talk about what love is, because I don't want to just be in love with the idea of love. I don't want to be looking for love in the wrong places. And so I need to know what love is, because I realize something inside of me does need it, wants it. And so 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says this: love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. I pray for a visitation of your Spirit. Speak to us, teach us. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be here. Most of all, I pray that Jesus would be magnified, and God's people said, amen. Now, those of you that have been coming to the church for years, you know that probably for the last 9 to 8 years, every February, we do some type of sermons on relationships. And so what that means is I've probably, you know, we've done a series. And so I've probably preached nearly 100 sermons on relationships, literally 100 sermons. And so when February time comes back round, I'm like, what am I going to say again? What am I going to say new? What am I going to say more? And so I thought, let me go into the Word of God. We all know, most of us, we know this text about Corinthians. And I was reading it and reading it and reading it. And something leapt out of me that was in the middle of the text I read. And it starts by saying love. And obviously it says love doesn't suffer. Love suffers long. Love is kind. But one of the phrases that leaped out of me, love does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. And that's what I want to preach about, because what that means is love has the ability to put self on pause. When you really have love and you really see someone who has love, and so this is good for us to do, to live, but it's also good for us to understand, to observe, that love has the ability to put self on pause. Love can stop thinking about self. That's the reality of what love is. See, really, we all want to assert ourselves into almost every situation of life. We want to assert ourselves. And so can we put that image up of the White House? Do we have an image? Okay, so this is the White House. How many know who that guy is? Yeah? You know who he is? Oh, come on, man. You guys need to read newspapers or at least the thing. You know who that guy is? Okay, next slide. So when I was at the White House the other day, not the other day, because obviously there's another dude there now. But this is really what we're saying is that human nature, take it down, because people are going to start taking pictures of it, putting it up on social media, take it down. Yeah. And so this is what we're talking about, is that human beings, we always want to insert ourselves in every situation. We always are thinking about ourselves. I read a book, a very good book. I've recommended it to a few people, about the 7 habits of effective people or highly successful people. I can't remember. But one of the stories he speaks about in this book, he speaks about when he's disciplining his child. And he says he's disciplining his child because the child, it's the child's birthday party, and the child has all these toys. And one of the children that has come round to the birthday party wants to play with some of the toys. And so he says but the child won't share with the other children. And so he goes to little Johnny, Sally, whatever it was. He said, come on, Johnny, let's share with the other children. And little Johnny goes, no, I don't want to. And he, come on, remember what we taught you? It's nice to share. I don't want to. Now, listen, if you're a ghetto parent, that wouldn't even got that far. I mean, no, ghetto parent, I wouldn't even got that far, but, you know, this book is an intellectual book, so, you know, and so he's you know, anyway, and so what he said is, so he's like, what he said, he starts to, he feels now the other parents looking at him. So now he's not just trying to teach the child, but what's happening, he's actually thinking about his own image as a parent. What will the other parents think about him because his child is misbehaving? And so now he's like, come on, Johnny, I'll buy you ice cream. And so he's trying to bribe the child. Like, I don't want ice cream. And so he keeps going like this. He said, eventually just grab the toy. He just went ghetto. And then he gave it to another child. And he said, what happened was going on there. He says, it got to the point where I was more concerned about what the other parents thought of me than actually teaching my child a principle. He was actually more, what that means is, rather in this scenario, you should have been parenting in that scenario, thinking about, I need to teach my child principles that will equip them for life, but no longer were you thinking that, because you start to insert yourself, and you start to think, how you're embarrassing me. And now you respond in a way which is not out of the best interest maybe of the child, but it's really self-preservation. You've inserted yourself. We do this in marriage. How do you make me feel? How do you make me look? We do this in church, you know, these people and all of these things. See, what this means is we have the ability to take things very personally. We take things personally. You ever met people that just take things way too personally? Way too personally. You ever met people that always want to mock people, but as soon as you mock them, they you know who they are. You know who they are. They might be in your row. Just look at me, pretend like they're not there. People, the reality is we start to think everything is against us. See, you got to put self on pause sometimes. That's what love is. Love has the ability to put self on pause. I'm in this situation with my kid. I'm feeling, listen, just put self on pause and you're trying to deal with your child. Who cares what people think? Teach the principle. You can have this, and it goes through many lives, but we take things way too personally. We think everything is against us. You're driving, somebody pulls in front of you, but they didn't indicate. Now, I know we just start praying. We say, Father, bless them. Some people, you know, on the way to church today, it's like a different type of blessing. Actually, it's not a blessing, it's a curse. Because what we start to do, we start to believe that that person has done it against us. You start to... I remember driving behind two people and a guy pulled in and the guy was going crazy in the car, waving around. But the guy in front that actually pulled in was oblivious. He was just driving. He didn't do it deliberately. He was oblivious to it. Sometimes you can go to the shops and the salesperson, you find they're a little bit rude. And you take it offensive. Oh, why are you serving me? You get all upset. You're taking things too personally. See, maybe the guy that pulls out and didn't indicate has just heard that one of his relatives are in hospital about to pass away and he wants to get there. And his mind is not thinking about, he's not fully there. So he's doing things, but you don't think like that because it's always against you. Maybe the woman in Asda's that, you know, she looks a bit miserable. She's on the till. We don't know. She could have come from the doctor's this morning. And the doctor says, listen, we found a lump. We need to investigate it. That's on her mind, so she's not smiling. She's just doing her thing, but you're sitting there, yeah. Because you insert yourself. I read a story about these two people, husband and a wife, Amy and Philip. They live in America, but I believe Philip was originally from England, and so they're going to come back to England because Philip's family are going to put on this celebration for them. So there's going to be all their relatives there. There's going to be food there, and they're going to celebrate these people, you know, Philip and Amy coming over from America. And so they come over from America. One of Philip's uncles says, you know what, we'll look after the kids. You and your wife go out. So the day before the big event, they go out to the theater. And while they're out of the theater, they're coming back, they get a call, and it's from Philip's mum. And Philip's mum freaks out. She just freaks out. How dare you? You came all the way here, and you didn't invite me to the theater. What's the meaning of this? I've been slaving over this thing. I prepared this whole thing for you. She's just erratic, man. She says, it's off. I've told everybody don't come. All of the food that we cooked and prepared, I've thrown it away. And so she puts the phone down on them. Philip says to his wife, listen, that was rude. My mom's out of order. You know what? Let's just, whatever you want to do, And so the woman, the wife, Amy, she's like, okay. She goes away for a little bit. She comes back and she says to Philip, you know what? You only got one mom. And so I don't want to come in between you and your mom. I don't want to, this type of thing. And so she says, let me ring your mom and apologize. So she rings the mom and she says, you know what? I'm sorry, mom, that we didn't invite you. We did come all this way. And we didn't invite you to come to the theater with us. We just didn't think, we're selfish, whatever. I do apologize. And the mum forgives her. A little while after that, they find out that the mum has a disease. And the disease is actually caused some element of dementia that has affected the mum's behavior. And the reason why she's so erratic is because of this disease. See, what this woman, Amy, was able to do is that she was able to say, you know what, let me take myself out. Let me put myself on pause so that I can actually look at this situation. And what happens is the woman gets sick and she has to go and live with them. And the bond between Amy and her husband's mother becomes so tight to the last years that she was able to be with this woman. You know why? Because she was able to put self on pause. The Bible says love can put self on pause. Love has the ability to say, I do not seek my own. See, sometimes it's time to press pause. You know, I read a book last year about the brain. I didn't know this. You know, you can do many things at the same time. You can be driving, changing gear. And once you've been driving for a long time, how many know you don't have to think about it? That's your subconscious doing it. It's muscle memory in your brain. You just learned that. But concentrating on something, humans can actually only concentrate on one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Concentrate. We're talking about concentrate. You can do many things with your subconscious, but with your conscious mind, you can only do one thing at a time. Now, some of you say, no, but I can multitask. No, actually, what they said is no one really multitasks. What they're doing is the brain is switching from one thing to another thing very quickly. So the brain is over here, and then you're over here. So if you're on the phone and you're trying to cook something, your brain is just like, okay, phone, and it's cooking, phone, cook, 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 and it's going like this. Because the brain can only focus on one thing at a time. It can't really multitask when it comes to concentrating. But this is how it is for us, because the reality is that you've got to stop thinking about one thing to be able to concentrate on another thing. And what that means is, with us, this is why the Bible says love seeks not its own. You have to be able to put pause on yourself to really love someone else. You've got to have the ability to say, you know what? I'm not just going to seek my own right now. I'm going to have to put pause. When you are dating someone or looking for a relationship, one of the qualities you should be observing, do they have the understanding of the ability to put pause on themselves sometimes? How many know this is what parents do? Good parents. A parent may not feel like changing nappies. A parent may not feel like feeding, feel like cleaning up, feel like doing these things. But the parent says, you know what? Let me put pause on me so that I can be a good parent. And when you've had a parent that has done their best, this is why you should show appreciation. Many of us, this is why empathy is so hard. Empathy, when you feel what other people feel. You know why empathy is so hard for some of us, especially this generation. This generation is all about self to a larger degree. Now, I don't mean to say that in a bad way. I mean, it's a reality. Me and my wife were talking, and so we were talking about someone who's always on, not in the church, but someone in a family, and they're always on Instagram and social media and all of this. And I was saying to my wife, you got to remember, when we were growing up, you never saw videos of yourself. When I was growing up, I never saw videos of myself. I remember my uncle had a video camera. It was about as big as this speaker. It was massive. It was like, yeah, you know, that's what it was. It was, like, you know, duck, you know, and he'd walk around like that. And so now you guys have seen so many videos of yourself, so many photos of yourself. How many know someone's birthday? All these photos just come out of the woodwork. Because in this generation, it's about us. But the problem is that if you do not have the ability to put pause on self, you cannot think about others. And if you cannot think about others, what you're not going to have is empathy. When you do not have empathy, when you do not feel what other, when you cannot walk in another man's shoes, when you think, hold up, what would I feel like if I was in their shoes? Luke 10 is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is this, the story goes like this. There's a guy traveling and he gets robbed and beaten. He's left for dead almost. A priest and a Levite. These are the religious holy people. See the guy. One of them actually goes and looks at him, crosses over and keeps walking. The Bible says that these Levite and this priest, they don't help the guy. Now, what are they doing? They do not have empathy. What they don't have the ability is, hold up, priest, think. If this was you, what would you want people to do? That's what empathy is. If this was you, what would you want someone to do? If you was in that predicament, if you was in that struggle, if you was going through that, what would you think, what would you want someone to do? Someone tells me they're sick, then I'm thinking, Courtney, what would it be like if you were sick like that? What would you want people to do? Someone says, oh, you know what, I've got no money for food. What would you want someone to do? That's what empathy is, but to have that quality, you have to be able to put pause. And this is why it's so amazing, because the prodigal son, it wasn't the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan, what does he do? He walks past, sees the guy, bandages him up. He was riding on a horse, and he gets off his horse and he puts the guy on his own donkey and takes him to the inn. What he does is he puts pause on self. Whatever his mission was, whether he was going for business, to visit family, for a vacation, no matter what his plan was, he's able to put it on pause so that he can help someone else. Christian, let me say this now. We better be very careful, Christian, because we are susceptible to be like the priest and the Levite. Because the more and more comfortable we become in our blessing, the more and more we forget and we do not feel what others are going through. You think about it, that Jesus in the story said it was the priest and the Levite. In modern terms, that would be the person who goes to church and the person who's in the praise and worship. That's like me saying there was an usher and there was a praise and worship leader, and they were walking and they saw someone who needed help and they walked right past them. When Jesus said the story about the Good Samaritan, that's what people would have thought. And the reality is that, you know what? We've got to put self on pause. This is why preaching the gospel helps us. Because preaching the gospel is good news. How many know the word gospel means good news? And what that is, it's this good news that Jesus came and died for us, and we want to share it with you. So this is why the gospel makes you think about others. Because the gospel is good news. Good news is only news when it's shared. It can't be good news in your head. It has to be shared with others. It has to be shared with especially those who are lost, those who do not know the love of God, those that are without God. That's when the message is really good news. It makes you, forces you, it compels you to put pause on self and think about others. Sometimes the enemy is going to try to distract you. Jesus is going to the cross. Jesus is talking about going to the cross. Peter says, no, this is not going to happen. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know what he's doing? He said, no, I'm putting the devil on pause. So some of us, we got to put the devil on pause. He's been talking to us. Yeah, no. The devil wants you to get you distracted with either blessing or problems. That's what the devil doesn't care whether you're blessed or whether you got problems. He just wants you distracted. That you're all up in your blessing. Well, they should have worked harder. They should have been more wiser. God is blessed. Listen, everything you have is because of grace. It's because of grace. I realize that. Easily I can be like, oh, you know what? They should have done this. They should have done that. And God's like, listen, bro. Listen, Courtney. You only have what you have because of my grace. Yeah, but I'm very ambitious and forward-thinking. And listen, who made your brain? Sometimes it's our problems. How many know when we got problems, we can become distracted from others? When we got problems, we're going through, boss, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. And so sometimes you got to say, you know what, devil, I'm going to put you on pause. You've been talking way too much. Let me close with this. Jesus pressed pause for us. Jesus. Because here is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. He's in heaven. He dwells with God for all of eternity. And he steps out of eternity and he steps into time and he lives upon this planet and then he dies on the cross. He gives his life as a sacrifice for us. Jesus puts pause on eternity and steps into time for us. It wasn't for himself. I've said this before. It's not like God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, some of the angels are just there chilling out, talking. Hey, what's up? Yeah, it's all good. And then Jesus is like, hey, you know what? I feel like going to earth, man. Yeah, let me just go to earth for a little bit. Maybe 33 years. Let me hang out. Let me squeeze into some virgin's womb, and that would be fun. Let's just try that. And then, what's going to happen at the end? I don't know, at the end. Put me on a cross or something like that. Nails from my hands, nails from my feet. Sounds like fun. Let's do it. Make the arrangements. Jesus didn't do it for himself. Jesus did it for us. So what we see is that Jesus says, let's put pause on eternity. Let's put pause on glory. Let's put pause on fellowship with the Father. And let me step into time for them, for us, because we couldn't rescue ourselves because we're broken beings. And Jesus is constantly putting pause. You know, the beauty of this is that, like I said, when you have empathy, you feel what other people have gone through. Jesus doesn't need just this type of empathy I feel what you're going through, but you've never been through that. Jesus actually comes down, puts on flesh, and feels what we feel. Hebrews 4, verse 15, look what it says here. For we do not have a high priest, speaking about Jesus, who cannot sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses. How many know that we're weak sometimes? We're weak. We struggle. But was in all points tempted as we are. How many have ever been tempted? Tempted to give up. Tempted to do something crazy. When you just feel that weak moment. The Bible says that Jesus knows what you're going through. When you pray to God, when you say, Jesus, help me, it's not like he's up there, just some guy with a beard, and he's up there, just help them, like he doesn't care. He feels because he's gone through what we are going through. But the Bible says, without sin, he didn't sin. Yet therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. See, this is the beauty of what we believe, is that we have a God who put pause on himself so that he could come down and help us and feel what we feel. And now we can go to him when we're weak, when we need help, when we're without hope, when we're confused, when we're tempted, and we can go to him and he says, I feel what you feel. I've gone through it. So you know what? Let me give this to you. If you've been rejected, Christ has felt rejection. If you've lost a loved one, God has lost a son. If people have spoken bad against you, they spoke bad against Jesus. We could go through the whole spectrum of emotions and feelings. Can I tell you, Jesus and God the Father have experienced it, and they went through it so that they have empathy for us. People are like, why did Jesus have to come down? What about this, the Son and Holy Spirit? Listen, if he didn't come down, then he'd be a lot colder, distant, far God. But that's not our God. Our God is a close God. Our God is Emmanuel, God with us. Because he puts paws on himself. And he shows us the pattern. John 13, verse 3. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments. This is speaking about Jesus when he washes the disciples' feet. He took a towel, girded himself, and after that he had poured the water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he was girded with. The Bible says that Jesus stands up and he takes off his outer clothes and he wraps himself in a towel and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. God washing man's feet. That there is, there's 100 sermons in that. But what I'm saying is Jesus shows us, for me to serve them, I had to take something off of me. See, we are never more like Jesus than when we press pause on self. No, I'm like Jesus because I prophesy. Almighty God, holy. No. You're never more like Jesus than when you can press pause on self. Pause. No, I can pray for long. Pastor, get me up here to pray. Almighty God. And you got these long King James words. You're never more like Jesus than when, I know my Bible, I've memorized. Listen, you're never more like Jesus than when you can press pause on self. What that means is, husband, when you come home and you've had a long day, but you realize your wife has been struggling with those kids and struggling, you know, doing all of that. And you're tired, but you're like, you know, what can I do to help you? You've put pause on self. You've become like Jesus. Some of you, No. What you did is you put pause on self and you was like Jesus. Wife, what about when your husband comes home and you've been running around with those rugrats, man? And they're pulling your hair out, and you listen, it's your turn now. But he's got a lot on. And you say, you know what? Let me put pause on self. What do you need? You're never more like Jesus. Parent, when you will remember what it was like when you was young. When you was going through those things. We're never more like Jesus than when we go through life in our community and people are not treating us the best way we would want them to treat us, but we think, you know what, maybe they've had a bad day. Let me not insert myself into this scenario. How dare you treat me like that? I'm a customer. I'm a paying customer. Listen, go get the manager. It's my rights. But you realize, you know what, let me just put pause on that. And you speak to people, you're kind to people, you're loving to people, even when they're not loving to you, but you can put pause on self. I want to tell you, when a church and a body of people can press pause on self, they will change the world. The world is not changed by people going around preaching to people and not living it. The world is not changed by people going around looking down their noses at people. Why are you doing it? That doesn't change the world. What changes the world is that when people, yes, we've got to preach the truth. Yes, we've got to stand for righteousness. Yes, we've got to tell people they're not right with God and they need Jesus. But what they see in us is that we're like Jesus, that we press pause on what I'm going through and the pain and the blessing. And now I'm here. How can I help you? How can I assist you? How are you feeling? You know, the reality is, it's more like a fader. I mean, you know what a fader is?
fader is the thing that you have in between two turntables. How many ever seen a DJ? That was a good sound effect. So you have a turntable here, you have a turntable here. This one's playing one tune, this one's playing another tune. And what they do is they have the fader and they go in between and they do some stuff. But sometimes just to fade the music in and out. And so this is really what God wants. God says inside of you, there's a fader. And on this turntable is you playing. Yeah, it's all about me. You've inserted yourself into everything. Yeah, me, my, yes, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, this is my job. Yeah, this is what I want to do. Yep, yep. It's all about me, 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 me. You're playing your best track. You love this track. Oh, I love this track. Me, me, myself, and I, me. Okay. Over here is another track. Is Jesus. Reach the world. Love others. Be kind. Be patient. Let's have impact in the world. Let's go out and change the world. Let's do something big. Jesus is playing this. The problem is there's too much fader over here. So it's me, myself, and I. We can't hear Jesus at all. We can't hear him at all. And what you got to do is you got to switch it over. And all of a sudden, you start to hear a bit more of Jesus and a bit less of you. And a bit more of Jesus and a bit less of you. And a bit more of Jesus. And before you know it, you're over here, and it's this that when people look at you, they see Jesus. When people hear you, they hear Jesus. When people see you and they think, look how they're acting, look how they forgive, look what's going on, they hear Jesus. Love is able, real love is able to press pause on self. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.